Today is Friday, February 5th. We'll explain a rare action against a controversial congresswoman this week. What happened, how she defended herself, and what comes next. Also, another encouraging step for a COVID-19 vaccine, all while the number of new cases starts to go down. Plus, what a new report says about toxins in certain baby foods, how NASA is trying to crowdsource a new way for astronauts to eat, and what to expect from Super Bowl 55 this weekend, from the game itself to the unique performances. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. It's being called an extraordinary step and an extremely rare move, but lawmakers voted, mostly along party lines, to remove Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from her assigned committees. Now, this essentially means she'll lose some of her influence in government. The House voted to remove her from the Education and Budget Committees. In these types of committees, lawmakers typically have a big say in crafting legislation and in deciding which bills actually make it through to the rest of Congress for a chance to become law. But the House voted 230 to 199 to make sure Greene can no longer take part. All Democrats supported this move, along with just 11 Republicans. Now, remember, the reason she has been so controversial is a bunch of her past statements. Before she was elected, she embraced certain conspiracy theories. But then yesterday, on the House floor, just hours before the vote, the congresswoman said she does regret some of what she used to believe. For example, she said she now knows the 9/11 terror attacks, quote, absolutely happened, and that school shootings were absolutely real. That's a change from her statements before, when she said perhaps aspects of both were staged. She also went back on her past endorsement of certain QAnon conspiracy theories. In other past social media posts, she's written about executing top Democrats and also claimed a space laser controlled by Jewish people might be responsible for wildfires in California. Now, during her speech on the House floor yesterday, Greene never apologized, but she did say her words of the past do not represent her now. Next up, some Republicans responded with their own proposal to remove a Democrat from the Foreign Affairs Committee, specifically Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. They cited her past comments about Israel. For example, she once said the country hypnotized the world from ignoring their evil doings. And critics have called those comments anti-Semitic. Since then, Omar has publicly apologized, and now she's saying the most recent action against her is a, quote, ridiculous distraction. To be continued. The U.S. is about to let a lot more refugees into the country. That was just one announcement President Biden made in his first foreign policy speech since taking office. He said he wants the U.S. to let in 125,000 people who are fleeing violence, conflict, and oppression in their home countries. Now, that's a pretty big expansion of the decades-old refugee program. Last year, the U.S. opened up just 15,000 spots. Former President Trump did not want to allow as many refugees into the U.S. because he said they were not vetted properly. But President Biden said the program is needed to meet an unprecedented global need. Another one of Biden's foreign policy priorities getting a lot of attention, he no longer wants to support war efforts in Yemen. A brutal civil war there has been going on since 2015. It's been called the worst humanitarian catastrophe in the world. For years, the U.S. has supported Saudi Arabia in its action against the Houthis in Yemen. Apparently, Houthi rebels launched missiles across the Saudi border and tried to seize some territory. Of course, this is a very complex situation, but in the 6 years since the war effort started, 112,000 people have died, and the UN estimates about 13.5 million people don't have enough food. So Biden is ending certain weapons sales to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. He's also pushing for a ceasefire. Though to be clear, Saudi Arabia is still considered an ally overall. All right, some encouraging news nearly a year into this global pandemic. In the U.S., the numbers of new COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations are going down. And the best part is the COVID Tracking Project is seeing this downward trend in nearly every state. Still, many infectious disease experts say they're worried about Super Bowl Sunday gatherings this weekend. The new CDC director says one of the reasons we're seeing improvements right now is because the effects of holiday gatherings have started to fade. So she does not want to see the numbers swing up again after Super Bowl parties. But the U.S. is one step closer to having a third COVID-19 vaccine on the market. As expected, Johnson & Johnson applied for the FDA's emergency use authorization. Now, this vaccine could come with fewer logistical headaches because you only need one shot, not two different doses weeks apart like the others on the market. Plus, it can be stored in a simple refrigerator, unlike some that require special freezers and dry ice. Now it's up to the FDA to review all the safety data and the manufacturing records. If all goes well and the FDA authorizes this vaccine, Johnson & Johnson says it will start shipping doses in the U.S. right away and may be able to supply 100 million doses by June. All right, we have much more news coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor, Noom. If you ever feel lost with all the different contradictory information out there about health and habits, Noom works to simplify things and help you turn your personal health goals and aspirations into reality. And not just for the month, but Noom uses psychology and education to help you stick with it in the long term. Noom's cognitive behavioral approach is meant to help you build habits without an unrealistic, rigorous plan or unforgiving lifestyle. You set your goals and Noom helps you get there. And Noom knows you're busy and doesn't expect to dominate your life. It expects just 10 minutes a day of your time. And there's no bad food. It's more about understanding cravings, helping you eat and feel better, and knowing how to shop. There's also easy food logging and a way to chart your progress for your own healthier habits. You can sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Noom wants you to know there's a science to getting healthier. So go to Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to the news. NASA is trying to figure out how to better feed astronauts in space. So it launched a contest asking people to submit their best ideas for space food. And it's even offering $500,000 in prizes. Here's the deal. NASA wants people to come up with innovative ideas or new technology that can help astronauts produce and prepare food during long missions like to the moon and Mars. The food has to be safe, nutritious, and tasty, and preparing it cannot require too many resources or create too much waste since there's only so much room inside spaceships. The contest, called Deep Space Food Challenge, is getting underway now, and people have until May 28th to sign up. A new congressional report says some baby food may contain high levels of toxic metals. We're talking about arsenic, lead, and cadmium, which can all cause serious health issues in children. The report looked at data from brands like Gerber, Beech Nut, Earth's Best Organic Foods, and Happy Family Organics, and it found all of them were using ingredients that contain a lot of heavy metals. For example, in some cases, the ingredients had arsenic levels that were 90 times what's allowed in bottled water. To be clear, those kinds of metals are naturally occurring in things like water and soil. But if babies are exposed to high levels of them, it can reportedly affect their brain development and nervous system. The metals can even permanently lower IQ. Lawmakers are now calling on the FDA to have stricter oversight. But this report is getting some pushback. It was put together by Democrats on a House Oversight Subcommittee, and at least one Republican told the Wall Street Journal it's not credible. He says Democrats never held hearings or did interviews to prepare the report, so it doesn't exactly give the whole picture. Also, the companies mentioned responded. For example, Nurture, which makes Happy Baby, said it only sells products that have been rigorously tested and meet FDA guidelines. Either way, the FDA says it is now reviewing these findings. All right, football fans, the wait is almost over. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will take on the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend at Super Bowl 55. This is the second Super Bowl in a row for the Chiefs. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes led the team to victory last year. As for the Bucs, quarterback Tom Brady is at the helm, and this will be his 10th Super Bowl appearance. He already has 6 Super Bowl rings. Of course, this will be a Super Bowl unlike any we've seen before. For obvious health reasons, only about 25,000 fans will be allowed to show up in person, meaning the stadium will be just more than a third full. So during the halftime show, the singer The Weeknd will perform up in the stands. This way, he and his crew stay distanced from the players. And he will not be the only major headliner either. Country star Eric Church will perform the national anthem with R&B singer Jasmine Sullivan. Also, for the first time ever, a poet will perform at the big game. We're talking about Amanda Gorman. She became a well-known name last month when she performed at President Biden's inauguration. And now she'll be reciting a new poem during the Super Bowl pre-show. As for the actual game, kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Eastern this Sunday, and you can watch the big game on CBS. It's not just the Super Bowl happening this weekend. The so-called Puppy Bowl is also set for Sunday as well. If you're not familiar, Animal Planet says 70 dogs from 22 different shelters spend a few hours chasing toys around on a miniature football field. And the goal is to get every dog in that Puppy Bowl adopted. This year, the Puppy Bowl will be hosted by Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg. It'll air on Animal Planet and Discovery Plus at 2 p.m. Eastern. All right, that's it for your main news today. But now it's time for Feel Good Friday, where we bring you one extra feel good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, this episode is brought to you by 1010. You may have read about this in the New York Times, InStyle magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively on BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people, and with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings just launched, and you can find it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Okay, now back to Feel Good Friday. And today, we are talking about how a teacher has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to help wipe away millions of dollars in medical debt, all in a matter of days. Sharon McMahon is popular on social media, and she teaches adults how the government works. She recently announced a fundraising campaign on her Instagram, raising money for the nonprofit RIP Medical Debt. The organization uses donated funds to act sort of like a collection agency, buying up a bunch of medical debt from lenders at once so it gets it at a discounted price. But unlike actual collection agencies who make a profit by then collecting the full price of the debt from families, RIP Medical Debt just forgives it and notifies the family they're now off the hook. So the nonprofit says for every $1 donated, the organization is able to forgive $100 of medical debt. Well, thanks to this Instagram fundraising campaign, Sharon has far surpassed her original goal. At last check, she's raised more than $400,000, which will forgive $40 million in medical debt and help thousands of families. Of course, you can take part too. We put links in our episode notes to both Sharon's fundraising campaign and to the nonprofit's main donation page. We also have a recent post on our Instagram linking to both of their accounts as well. All right, thank you so much for being here and making the newsworthy part of your daily routine. We appreciate you. One last reminder that we are hiring a news writer and audio producer. This person will help us out with these daily news episodes and our weekend interview segments. We're also looking for a fill-in podcast host. So if you or someone you know could be a great fit, check out more details and how to apply at thenewsworthy.com/jobs. The deadline to apply is on Wednesday. As always, you can see sources and links to more information on our episode notes at thenewsworthy.com. And we'll be back with our special edition Saturday episode tomorrow and another news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great day.